Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering at www.stutterrockstar.com. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and privilege to chat with yet another amazing woman. So I'm excited to say hello to Sarah. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
Oh, good, thanks. How are you, Pam?
I'm good. I'm really excited to finally be able to have this conversation with you and learn a little bit more about you and your story. So thanks for being a guest.
Thanks for having me, Pam.
Yeah. So to get us started, would you mind formally introducing yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what you do to keep yourself busy?
Great. Okay. So my name is Sarah Onofre, and I live in Boston. I'm on the board of directors of the National Stuttering Association for Family Programs, and I teach English as a second language in the Quincy Public Schools, which is just south of Boston.
Wow. So you have a lot on your plate.
I certainly do. I'm a Girl Scout leader too.
Oh my goodness.
I know. I'm a little crazy sometimes, but I like it.
How did you get involved with teaching? That to me doesn't seem to be the career path that most people who stutter would choose.
Well, so ever since I was in like the third grade, I always knew that I wanted to be a teacher. And for a while, I guess I ended up with this thought in the back of my head that it would be so much harder because I stuttered. You know, I'd be learning how to be a teacher, and like people would come in and watch me, and it would be so intimidating. It would just be horrible. And so, I always knew that I wanted to be a teacher, but there was also this like thought in my head that maybe I couldn't do it. And actually, when I went to my first NSA conference in 2006, when I was 16, I met this woman, Carrie, who was a teacher, and she stuttered, and it made me realize that I could do it too. And I think it's pretty incredible that I just, you know, happened to be introduced to her at the conference, because I think it was like the kind of the like push I needed to realize that I could really do it.
Now, was she introduced to you randomly? It just seems like fate.
I know. Well, so I had so in like I guess the course of the workshops and everything, I must have said something about wanting to be a teacher. So then Debbie Nicolai, actually, who was in charge of filling programs at the time, introduced me to Carrie.
Wow, cool. And from there the rest is history, as they say.
It certainly is.
How long have you been a teacher?
Well, so it's always kind of hard for me to like come up with an exact number for this question. So this is my, I guess, second year working full time in a school. But I had been teaching in like various settings, and for different amounts of time before that.
All right. And you said that you teach ESL. So mm-hmm. How did you get into that? That's really, that's a challenge.
Well, so I have to say it was sort of like this wonderful sort of happy accident, maybe like an act of fate, I don't know. So I had gone to school for elementary education, and I had done my student teaching in the Boston Public Schools at the school that I actually went to as a child,
Oh, neat.
and I was really cool. And so then after I graduated, I started subbing there. And then at the end of the year, a couple of years ago, they needed a long-term sub for ESL. So I started doing that, and then the year after, I was able this so never to last year. Last year I was able to teach ESL there. And so I've been teaching ESL ever since. I'm working at a new school now, and it's really nice. I have like such wonderful students, and I work with and the other ESL teacher that I work with is just like really incredible. So I feel really lucky to have sort of like fallen into it.
What grade do you teach?
Well, I teach a variety. So I work with students from grade one up to grade five.
Oh, so these are little kids.
Yes, d definitely.
And how do you deal with your stuttering with the kids?
That's a wonderful question. So, pretty much like for as long as I've been working with kids, I always end up talking about it. Because I think like a lot of times what'll happen, especially if I'm with younger students, like with my first graders, I don't remember if this happened this year, but like in general, usually some younger student will just be like, Miss O, why do you talk like that? And they're not trying to be mean or rude. They're just like genuinely curious. Yes. So usually with my younger students, I'll say something along the lines of, I get stuck on my words sometimes, but I just need you to let me finish my sentences or something along those lines. And then with my older students, like my fourth and fifth graders, I like especially with my fourth graders, they're like this very like sweet and lovely group, and we talk about it a lot. Like this past weekend, I just went to the National Stuttering Association board meeting, and so I told my kids that I was going there, and they were like, very excited. But so with my older students, I mean, sometimes someone will mention something about it too and just be like, Miss O, why do you talk like that, whatever. And so with my older students, usually I tell them that I stutter, and I say that that means that I get stuck on my words, and that it's really important for you to let me finish what I have to say. And a lot of times they'll try and finish my sentences, so sometimes like I have to remind them like a few times, and they're not like it's that they're not trying to be mean, but they just want to help you, so I just give them friendly, kind reminders.
Has there ever been an instance where one of the kids has laughed like when you've stuttered? I mean, maybe not intentionally, but just has laughed or reacted in not a good way?
Yes, definitely. So especially when I was working as a substitute, so I'd go into different classes every day. It was like, super exciting stuff. And so one day I was with this particularly difficult class, and I was like having a really disfluent day. And I forget exactly what happened, but like one of the students definitely, or like one or a couple of students were definitely laughing, and like not in like a nervous, anxious way, but like a mean way. So like we had this, or I tried to have this whole discussion about like differences and the whole thing. And so like I talked about this, about my stuttering with them. And I mean, I can't say it was like necessarily 100% effective, but I think it was also definitely hard because it was a group of students that I don't see, see every day. And now at my new school, in the beginning of the year, that did happen with a couple of my older students, where they just like, they didn't usually seem like malicious, but they just did like kind of like a don't know what to do kind of laugh, you know?
What about the adults? What about your colleagues and other people that work in the building? Do you talk about it with them, and are they supportive?
I do. So it's, I feel like it's kind of a mix. So I'm really bit I'm really big on advertising and talking about stuttering. And so like when I interviewed for my job with the head of the ESL department, it was great because I was able to tell her about my involvement with the NSA, and like I got to talk about stuttering, and I really felt like we were in like this like good place together, of like her really understanding. And so then in my building, I've talked to a few d different people about it. Sometimes it's not necessarily that I'm like explaining my stuttering story, but like even just like I missed work on Friday because I was going to the board meeting, so I mentioned that, I have my board meeting for the National Stuttering Association. And I think that the people who I work really closely with definitely know that I stutter, and like I've mentioned it. And I think for me it's just like now that I've been there for a few months, or like I'm half the year, it feels good to feel like people just know and I don't have to worry about it.
Now, how did you get so involved with the National Stuttering Association that you're on the board?
Well, so this coming conference will be my ninth conference, and probably about 5, I started helping out with the kids programming. I was on the teen advisory council for 1 year, and my favorite thing was getting to work with the kids. And so then after that, I just started volunteering and was like became responsible for planning like parts of the kids programming. And then a couple of years ago, I pretty much took over planning all the kids programming, and now I work together with Nina Zito, and we plan all the kids workshops together. But I guess as I became more and more involved in family programs, I wanted to have some sort of like real leadership role, and that's how I ended up being on the board. I guess that's the story in a nutshell anyways.
Why are you so involved with the organization?
Well, I know that I mentioned that when I went to my first conference, I met that one person who had such an impact on me. And I think that that's what it's all about for people that, are so involved in the NSA. And really, I feel like it's the giving back, because like you feel like someone did something wonderful for you, and you want to like be that person for someone else, and like you want to create a positive environment. And like with the kids, it's amazing because like I never had this when I was so young, and it's just amazing getting to work with them and hear their different experiences.
So what was it like for you as a kid? 'Cause you said you went to your first conference when you were 16. So what was it like for you when you were younger?
Well, to be honest, like for when I was like very little in like elementary school, I have like few like stuttering memories. Like I know that I went to speech therapy, and I know I didn't like it. And like one of the only things that I remember was that I was going to speech therapy with a couple other people, and one day one of the other people going to speech made fun of me, and I was just like, what? Like this doesn't make any sense. You're going to speech too. Like what's going on? That's like the only thing that I really remember from elementary school about stuttering. And so like in terms of like speech therapy, like I like like I had gone for a while, like until the end of elementary school, but it was the kind of thing where it wasn't like it wasn't someone who had really who was really trained in stuttering. And so I stopped speech therapy for a while, and then when I was in seventh grade, I guess this is like where my like stuttering memories really begin, because what one of my teachers called my mom and asked if I, was going to speech therapy or if I needed to find out about speech therapy at school. I'd started a new school, and so basically it like inspired us to like call and me start seeing a speech therapist. And so then from that point on, I saw this incredible speech therapist named Kristen until high school. And it was like, for me, I had never talked about stuttering before that. Like, it was just kind of this thing that was there that I wouldn't talk about. And like, when I first started working with Kristen and she even suggested telling someone I stutter, I was just like, that's so weird. Why would I ever do that? I know. Clearly, things have definitely changed. So I think that working with her was really positive for me, because it made me realize that like talking about stuttering would make things so much better. And I think from that point on, I was able to really accept stuttering and like and own it and not let it be this thing that gets in my way.
Had that been happening for a while? Had you felt that stuttering was getting in your way for a while?
Well, I don't know whether it was necessarily like in my way, but I think I wasn't comfortable with it, and like this like maybe sounds silly, but like so I feel like anyone who knows me knows that I'm like very friendly and like very talkative and just like a pretty outgoing person. And like when I was in like elementary school, I was like so shy. And now like, I don't remember, but like I kind like I not that I don't remember being shy, but I don't remember my actual experiences. But I always wonder, like, was I just being shy because I was afraid to talk to people? I don't know, So I feel like getting comfortable with stuttering with myself helped me to like, I guess, to like open up and become the person that I am now,
And how did you find out about that first NSA conference when you were 16? Did you learn about it from your therapist?
Yes, I did actually. So I had been going, like I said, I started seeing Kristen when I was in the eighth grade, and then at some point, I guess a couple, like a few years later, she had mentioned the NSA to me, and she mentioned that there was a conference. She'd never been before, but like she knew that it was like, a really positive thing. So then I looked it up online, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to go to this. This is so amazing. And so that's how I found it. And I guess that's the beginning of my NSA story.
Now, did your parents go with you?
Well, so this is actually a funny story that my mom likes to bring up all the time. And Tammy probably remembers this too. So when I first found out about the conference, I was just convinced I had to go. And I thought that I had to go by myself. I thought that if I went with someone, then I would be too afraid. Like, not that I would be too afraid, but I wouldn't like force myself to meet new people. And so I was like convinced I was gonna go by myself. And I guess I had been emailing Tammy, and she called my mom, and she was like, "No, you cannot let your 16-year-old daughter come to Long Beach from Boston by herself. You should come. Like, this is crazy." And so now here I am 9 years later, and my mom is still coming to the conferences with me. So she always likes to bring it up because I didn't even want to bring her in the first place, but now I can't imagine going to conferences without her.
Yeah, so what's that about? I mean, I've met your mom and she's really cool, by the way.
Oh,
And I
thanks. We all
and I
care.
know and I know that you guys go that you go together. It seems like, and you just mentioned that you can't imagine going to a conference without your mom. So, I mean, where did that happen that you reached that point where you can't imagine that you'd go to one without her.
Well, I think that part of, I mean, in the beginning, I was like, I wanted to go by myself because I thought it was something that I had to do by myself and for myself. But then I realized that, I mean, obviously I'm going out and meeting people and like getting involved, and it's not like my mom is my like crutch or something, you know? But I think part of it is just the like relationships you form. Like my mom and I have so many good friends that we see at the conference. So I like I've like I know she'd be really sad if she wasn't coming anymore. And I mean, and then the stuttering element of it is definitely that before the conference, I never talked about stuttering with my mom. I just wasn't comfortable with it. And then when we both went to the conference, she learned so much about stuttering, and just like now we can talk about it, you know, and like she really understands. And before, like if she didn't understand, like it was because I never helped her to understand, you know what I mean? So now I feel like she's like very enlightened about stuttering and really gets it.
What does she do when she goes to the conferences while you're doing your thing with the kids' programs?
Well, so a lot of the time she'll go to some of the parent workshops, but obviously when you've been going for 9 years, like you, and a lot of times a lot of the parent things are really geared towards like parents, you know, not of children that are 24 years old. So, she'll usually go to like a couple of parent things, and sometimes she'll go to some adult things too. And like she and it's nice because she loves just getting to like, you know, learn new things and go to different workshops. And then like, and then there's also the social aspect of seeing people that we've become close with over the years.
Now, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a sister who is 20 years old.
And what does she think about all this?
Well, I have to admit that I haven't let her come. And she would like to be invited.
Why haven't you let her come?
Well, I think that way, in like a selfish way, I feel like this is like my thing with my mom already. You know, that's pretty kind of me. But I mean, I think part of it, I guess, is that I like don't like I guess I don't know. Maybe it's that I'm not like ready to share it with her. I don't know. But I figure that if a conference ever comes to Boston, then I will let her come. But I mean, and I think part of it too is that like it's just like it's kind of like me and my mom's like special thing, you know, we're getting away, and it's just like I don't know, it's nice that it's been our
Right. Do you and your sister ever talk about it?
we do. I mean, like she's like also really good and like really understanding and like definitely gets it, and like we don't talk about it like so often. Like I mean, I guess usually like when I am like talking about stuttering and I'm talking about like something that happened, I'll be talking about it with like with one of my friends that I've met through the NSA. So I feel like the most times that I'm talking about it is like when I'm talking about something like crazy that happened, and then I'll be talking about it with my friends from the NSA, or like I'll talk about it with like new people, you know what I mean? But 'cause like I feel like I'm not like constantly talking about it with like people that I'm like very close to who don't stutter, if that makes sense. So like I've talked to my sister before, but it's not like we talk about it often. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. People in my family, I have 5 siblings, 4 sisters and a brother.
Oh, wow.
And when I was growing up, we didn't talk about stuttering at all. And it really didn't even become an open issue until I started going to the NSA conferences, which coincidentally, my first one was in 2006 too.
Nice.
Yeah, and so but I don't really talk about it with any of my siblings either, because I don't know if it's because they feel uncomfortable or if they feel like that's my thing, you know, and so like maybe sort of a little bit along similar lines as to what you've described. But it's like they can't totally relate to what I'm experiencing and what I'm feeling about stuttering, so we don't really seem to have a conversation about it, and that's okay because I'd rather talk about stuttering to my stuttering friends and to people that get it, you know. So
Totally.
yeah. Now you mentioned at the top of our conversation that you're also a Girl Scout leader. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you get involved with that?
Involved in Girl Scouting since I was in the second grade.
Oh.
I've actually been with the same group of a group of Girl Scout troops. So basically, we have a troop at every level. So I lead the Daisy troop with one of my close friends, and then we have a Brownie troop, Junior troop, and then like a cadet and senior troop. And so basically, like I went through the troops myself when I was younger, starting in second grade. And then basically towards the end of high school, I started becoming like getting ready to be an assistant leader. And then I was helping out with the older girl troop. And then probably about 4 or 5 years ago, my friend Erin, who I've known for forever, pretty much through Girl Scouting, she started a Daisy troop, which is girls in kindergarten and first grade. So the first year she had it was very small, but the second year it grew to about 20 kids. So then I switched from working with the older girls to being a co-leader for the Daisies with her. And so we've been doing that together for a few years, and it's so much fun. The girls are just so fun, and it's nice because you're not in like a really structured setting. Like when you're in school, which obviously I really enjoy too, but it's nice because it just like gets you get to see them, you get to see like a different side of them, you know?
Now, do you have some of the same kids in Girl Scouts that you do in school?
Like some of the same children?
Yeah.
Well, so I you so I so I used to my so I live in Brighton, which is part of Boston, and our Girl Scout troop is in Brighton, and the school that I worked in last year was in Brighton. So there are some kids from the school that I used to work at that are in our troop, but my new school is like 30 minutes away. So there's no overlap between kids now, but so there are kids that I knew from school before. So
Okay, and Girl Scouting is I was a Girl Scout for a while, when I was a kid. I was a Brownie,
all right.
and then a Scout. But honestly, I don't know too much about it currently because I haven't been involved. But it's my understanding that Girl Scouting is all about empowering girls and women. Is that correct?
It definitely is. And one thing that I really like about the Girl Scouts is that they're like a very inclusive, a very inclusive organization, and just like very welcoming. And I feel like they just have like very good, like, I don't know. I don't know really the right word, but just like I very like good. I don't know if belief system is the right word, but I don't know. I feel like I feel like Girl Scouting is just this really positive thing for the girls that are involved.
It kind of helps them to build their self-esteem and their confidence and believe that they have a voice, right?
It definitely does. It's nice because we get to do so many different things, and I feel like the girls, I don't know, they just get to have this like really fun and positive experience, and they get to, start doing different leadership things. It's a really nice opportunity for them.
Do you ever get the opportunity to educate about your stuttering to the girls?
So it's pretty much the same kind of thing as with school, where, like, especially because they're so little, sometimes, like, someone will just ask me something about it, and so I'll pretty much say the same thing that I'd say with, like, my first graders, that, like, sometimes I get stuck on my words, and it's just important for you to, like, let me finish them myself.
And are they pretty respectful of that?
Oh, definitely. I find that most of the time, and I find this with adults too. I feel like usually once you tell someone that you stutter, even if they were being, like, doing the, like, laughing, like, the not, like, horrible, like, ridicule, but, like, if they were doing, like, an anxious, nervous laugh, I feel like once you educate them about stuttering, I feel like usually they start responding to you better, and just, like, realize that, whatever they had done before, like, wasn't really, like an appropriate reaction.
Have you ever had any problems with parents of either kids in your class or of the Girl Scouts?
No, I mean, so when a couple years ago, I worked for an after school program, and basically, it was, like, this very education and curriculum, like, driven and based program, and so we had, like, certain, and then would have to do parent conferences, and so that was something that really intimidated me at first, and so, like, getting through them was definitely scary, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just, like, intimidating because there you are with, like, parents who, you don't talk to all the time. But I think it was good that I had to do it, because it made me prepared, and, like, it made me ready to talk with parents now. And now in my current job, I feel like I'm pretty comfortable talking with parents, and I've had different meetings with parents, and it's nice because a lot of times they really want to help their children to better understand and better learn English, so they're very, like, open to help and suggestions, which is really nice.
And kind of in wind down mode now. I want to just kind of ask you like a maybe a final question, but one that
Sure.
might kind of summarize like the whole conversation that we've had. If there's any young girls listening to this program, like maybe 15 or 16 that stutter and are thinking about reaching out for support or maybe attending their first NSA conference but are scared, what advice would you give them? What would you tell them?
Well, I guess the very simple advice is that you should come, because even though it's scary at first to think about going to this new place, and especially if you're not really comfortable with talking about stuttering, to sort of have to, like, have to think about it, it's so wonderful. I think that one thing that's really great about what we have at the NSA is we have such a great program for first timers, that I know that you that you're a part of too, Pam. And so I think that really helps. And I think that even though it can be scary at first, it's so worth it. And when you get there, you'll meet so many wonderful people, and then after a little while, it won't feel scary anymore.
What's the best thing for somebody attending for the first time to do to kind of feel like they're part of the conference? I mean, what's the best thing for somebody to do to actually meet people?
Well, I think it might sound silly, but just to go to the different workshops, and because, so, like, sometimes it does get, a little overwhelming. You're taking in a lot of information, but I think that the more workshops you go to, the more opportunities you have to meet different people, and then also, like, when you're, say, you know, it's lunchtime, and so it's like could be tempting to like grab a sandwich and like go and be in your room for a few minutes and like kind of like take a break. But I think that like, say, a lot of times we'll have lunch like set up, we'll have lunch set up in the hotel, and there'll be like, you know, round tables you can sit at. Even though it can be scary at first, I think it's really beneficial to just like, you know, look for a group of nice people sitting, like people who seem nice and friendly, and go and be like, oh, hi, do you mind if I sit here? And then you're talking to people, and it's wonderful.
It sounds like you have had a wonderful experience through your 9 years with the NSA, and it seems like it's been mutually beneficial. It's been good for you, and it's been good for the NSA.
Oh, well, thank you, Pam. It's definitely been a wonderful experience for me.
Well, it's been a wonderful experience for me to have this conversation with you.
Well, thank you.
It's been really cool getting to know a little bit more about you, and I really wish that we'd done this sooner. So thank you so much for being a guest and sharing parts of your story.
Well, well, thank you again, Pam, for inviting me to be on the podcast. This was really a lot of fun.
And thank you again. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.